Christ needs us. He needs our hands. He needs our hearts. He needs our feet. He needs our eyes. He needs our ears. He needs us to be able to be the people who stand in the gap so that others might see Christ in their life.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
The ones who stand in the gap for others, that they might see the grace of God and the mercy of God through us by our acts of proclamation and by our acts of mercy and grace shown to others. It was January 10th of 2010, a rather ordinary January morning, albeit it was about 20 degrees outdoors. Had worship. I was standing at the front of the church when a parishioner came in and stood at the back of the church and went, "Our building is on fire." I went, "Oh." So I said to my staff person, I said, "Finish what you're doing, I'm leaving." And I raced into my office, put on my coat, and went downtown to discover that not only was their building burning, but the building on the corner was burning, which at that point had displaced 5 different families, 2 dogs, and multiple children, all because of an accidental flip of an item of clothing over a floor space heater in an apartment. Before the day was out, we had a family displaced from their home, put up by another family in the church in their home that they had not yet moved into, and they stayed there for about 4 or 5 months until their apartment was back up and livable downtown, and our sanctuary fellowship hall became the housing location or the spot location for multiple deliveries of food, clothing, all kinds of things that people would need when suddenly you don't have a place to live. That's what being the priesthood of all believers is about. Showing the grace and the love of mercy to people who suddenly are in a spot where they need to see God's presence. So we stand in the gap for others as well as the Church of Christ as we show Christ's love to others. May the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with a wounded hand stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart open your hearts to love. And may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And everyone you meet, may they see the face of Christ in you. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk. Then you will grow in your salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good. You are coming to Christ, the living stone who was rejected by humans, but was chosen as precious by God. You come to him as living stones, a spiritual house that is being built into a holy priesthood. So offer spiritual sacrifices that God accepts through Jesus Christ. That is why Scripture says, I am laying a chosen and precious cornerstone in Zion, and the person who believes in him will never be ashamed. This honor belongs to those who believe, but to those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that people trip over, a large rock that people find offensive. The people tripped over the word because they refused to believe it. Therefore, this is how they ended up. However, you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God. You were chosen to tell about excellent qualities of God, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not God's people, but now you are. Once you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy.
come to the book of John this morning. Two texts I want to share with you, the first of which you've probably memorized out of John chapter 3. We've been reading a book down in Sunday school by Max Lucado, and he actually wrote a book a few years ago called The 26 Most Important Words of the Bible, and they're about this very verse, John 3:16. He tells the story of Jesus coming in and meeting with Nicodemus. And I would have been interested to be in that room that day when he has that conversation with Nicodemus about his curiosity about this person named Jesus the Christ, because Jesus says these words to Nicodemus: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone," notice that word, everyone. Doesn't say just some, it doesn't say partly, it says everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be seen clearly that their deeds have been done in God." And then Jesus, later on, after he spent time teaching and training and working with his disciples, it's near the end of his life, and he takes them into an upper room, gives the disciples instructions about what to do to get that room ready. It is the time for the Passover. And so we hear these words from verses 13, 2 through 5, and then 12 through 15. "The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And then, after he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we've talked about following, we've talked about disobedience, we've talked about denial, we've talked about shame, we've talked about reconciliation. Now this week we're going to turn our attention to what I call the cross of the gap, or crossing, or bridging the gap, if you will. Peter talks about in that lesson that Holly read to us about our being a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, who are of God, and because of the work of God, we have become a people who are called to be intercessors, people who speak the wonderful work of Christ to people and call them out of darkness and into the light. For John tells us, as we just read, that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes would have life. And we are called to be light in a dark world. We talk about that darkness and light more at Christmas time, but it's never more true even now. Jesus set for us the example by what he did in the upper room. And you notice he didn't leave out Judas. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Judas was about to betray him. But yet he incorporated him into the foot washing. He incorporates him into the sharing with them that first, what we now know as communion, the Last Supper. He didn't say to Judas, "Be gone." He waits till after he served him communion and washed his feet as he sent him out into the night. perhaps hoping one last opportunity that maybe things might change. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus had done that night, but because they should have been the ones doing the foot washing. That was the role of the host. You were the one who washed the feet of those who entered your house. But it was the example that Christ wanted to set. So let me ask you, what does it look like to be the priesthood of all believers? Well, as priests, we stand in the gap. We stand in the gap to bridge the separation between sin and death. Jesus does that for us. He bridges that gap for us. And that same gap that separates us from sin and death also separates us from people in our families, from friends, from others, as well as separates us from God. And so we're called to stand in that gap for others as well. We are ministers. We are priests. You see, if we look at the discipline, we don't talk about the discipline much, but if we look at the discipline and we look at the organization of the Methodist Church, it clearly tells us that we are all called to be ministers. That's not just a title ascribed to me, your assigned pastor. Each and every one of us are ministers. Each one of us are priests, if you will, on behalf of Christ, laity and clergy alike. It takes all of us to do the work of the church. And every person is important. No one is less important than the other. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes the folks who end up can't get to church think, I don't have any purpose anymore. I don't have anything to say. You know, if they can be nothing, if they can be even our prayer warriors, that's important because it takes prayer to be part of the intercessory, to be part of priests in the church. So what does it mean to be, again, what does it mean to be a priest, to be a royal priesthood? You see, by our lives and by our actions, we carry out the example that Christ set for the disciples and asked us to do for others. Now, it's always amazing to me when I think about it this time of the year in churches, and I've contemplated doing foot washing, and I raise it up to worship committees, and they look back at me like, no, don't do that. There's something inherently uncomfortable about having somebody take off your shoes and socks and stoop down with a bowl of water and wash your feet, and vice versa to do that to the other person. And I think the problem with it is inherently we have to get humble. We have to get contrite before somebody else. We have to get down on our knees, which may hurt, first of all, to get down on our knees to start with. But we have to humble ourselves before that other person. We have to humble ourselves before God. And we don't humble very well. But I think it's something about our feet. We don't want people to see our feet. We don't want to smell somebody else's feet. I don't know what it is, but we just aren't comfortable with that act of worship for some reason or another. But yet, Jesus says we're to set an example. So we have to figure out other ways in which we can set an example as Christ set for the disciples. And so we do that by making Christ's grace, mercy, and love and action real for others by what we do with others as well. And so we have to share the word of God, where we function as God's representatives, we're people's representatives to God. And anyone who's experienced the love and acceptance and forgiveness of God is willing to help others experience the same as a priest. You see, we have to share the word of God, and we have to shed that dark light in a dark world. We intercede through prayer. Every time you offer up a prayer for somebody else, you're being a priest. Every time you take a bowl of hot water, a bowl of food. We do a funeral dinner. However we reach out, we're being priests. We're showing someone else the act of Christ. Helping someone who's struggling. Maybe a simple matter as a simple note, or maybe a hug, or a touch of a hand. I shared with you in the beginning of the service about a Sunday morning, and for nearly 2 weeks, that church was filled to overflowing with tables filled with clothing and different things that different churches brought so that people would have a way to get started. I don't know if any of you have ever had a fire, and if you have, I'm sorry. But I was amazed at people's ignorance. They would call and say, well, what do they need? Well, I'd say, imagine if you just lost your house and you lost all of your possessions. You need just about everything. Well, why, like what? I said, well, for starters, they probably need a toothbrush, and they probably need a washcloth, and they probably need toothpaste. And I said, and then how are they going to cook? You know, it just sort of loses itself, you know. And so we began to be the dispensary for all that. And people came, wasn't just our church, it was the entire community. And these people we began to know because we already knew them, who were in the apartment building that had the families, because we had been working with them through another ministry. So they were already part of our extended constituency. We became the priesthood for those five families, as well as the priesthood for the family who were burned out of their building secondarily, helping them get back on their feet as well. You see, we have to help people see Christ in us. Because being the church is not just about being here in a building. It's easy. It's comfortable in here. We all love on each other. We all care about one another and all that. But it gets tougher when we get outside because we have to intermingle with people that we don't know and people we don't understand. And we have to be Christ to them wherever we are. One of the things about the church that we have to work on is being both outward as well as inward focused. That's become a new direction for our congregations. Being outward focused, looking beyond ourselves as opposed to always looking inward, and having a balance of being both outward and inward focused as well. You remember that wonderful children's song, "We are the church, you are the church, I am the church, we are the church together." That's what it means to be the priesthood. We need to be the channels of God's grace. A touch, a hug, a comforting note, a dish of food, a funeral dinner, a hospital visit, driving someone somewhere. Proclaiming the mighty acts of God. Helping others over the attitudes of self-absorption. Not all about us. We live in a world that thinks it is about us. It's all about me. It's all about what I need, about what I want. And that's not what it means to be a representative of Christ. The apathy that we experience both in and out of the church, the cynicism, the hopelessness. It's never going to get any better, so why try? Which we see a lot of in our world. Being a priest is a mission, and it's got several components. It's personal. We have to start with ourselves. Share with someone or others in a way that is comfortable and natural to you. You're not Billy Graham. You're not intended to be Billy Graham. But how can you share out of your own unique way of sharing with other people without being unusual? Spiritually, help others to see the hope and the wholeness that God wants to offer to each of us. We were broken. We are broken, even with Christ's presence. But He takes that brokenness and turns it into joy. Turns us into happy people because of what He's doing in our lives. And can do in our lives. Service oriented. We serve as Christ asks us to serve. Jesus said, I've given you an example. So go and do likewise to others. That doesn't mean you have to get down and wash their feet. We've already been down that road this morning. But how can you serve? What are your gifts and graces? Shared. It's a shared mission. We all have to work together. Clergy and laity alike. It's not just my job because I'm the pastor. We all have to come together around it. And it calls for our best. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was the best He had to offer. So that every person who might choose to believe would be able to experience everlasting life. But they only can have that is if we're willing to share that. And it has to be given to every person. Well, there's a legend out there. And I looked for this week because I thought it was a real statue, but it turns out it's really more of a legend. There's a statue in Zell, Andermosel, Germany, that supposedly was bombed in the World War II in Germany. And the hands of the statue were blown off. Christ needs us. He needs our hands. He needs our hearts. He needs our feet. He needs our eyes. He needs our ears. He needs us to be able to be the people who stand in the gap so that others might see Christ in their life. Teresa of Avila wrote this statement. one of the great Catholic saints and writers. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out upon the earth. Yours are the feet by which he is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands to which he has to bless us now. So may you go out into the world and be that person that stands in the gap, who bridges the gap for others, that they might come to know the message of God's love, God's message of grace, God's lesson of mercy in their life as well as in yours. Amen.
The church is one foundation.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.